This is Drive Through Radio on AM 790. Call Paul and John Zangari now at 437-5000 or 1-888-345-0790. Drive Through Radio with Paul and John Zangari on your station for talking business, AM 790.
Good morning. Welcome to Drive Through Radio. It's Car Care for You right here on AM 790. I'm Paul Zangari, along with my little brother, John.
How you doing, Paul?
I'm doing okay. And Brett Ferruccio is here. Good morning, Brett.
Good morning. Greetings.
Brett, have you got your scraper and your shovel and lots of bread and milk in the car?
I never take the scraper out of my car. I just move it from within the cabin to the trunk. That's pretty much it. It never leaves my car. I know where I live.
It's a wise policy.
It's in the cabin now, I hope.
It's in the cabin, yeah.
Yeah, I was
going to say. Don't forget your de-icer and the little snow shovel just in case.
Yeah, I was thinking, if you really need the de-icer, you probably don't want it to be inside the car.
Well, yeah, no, that's not a problem so much anymore because nobody uses a key to unlock the door.
Speak for yourself.
Oh, why don't you quit driving those antique cars?
Well, actually, you know what was funny? I was doing some work on one of the Ford Flexes the other day, and I had to take the latch out of the passenger side front door. And as it turns out, there is just one lock cylinder on the outside of the car, on the driver's door. Mm-hmm. Well, the plate that fits behind the part of the door handle that you pull is blank on the passenger side, but it's got a hole for the key on the driver's side.
Mm-hmm.
Turns out they're interchangeable. They're completely symmetrical.
Yep. Yep.
And the unit that the latch fits on has the hole for the lock cylinder on the passenger side. So I suspect I could do something that's just the opposite of what I did when I had the 39 Olds. That car had just a lock cylinder on the passenger side.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was to encourage you getting into the car curbside. And sure enough, if you look at movies made before cars all had consoles,
yep,
awful lot of people would get in on the right and slide over. Yeah, wear out the upholstery, stuff like that.
The question is, did the mohair interiors that those cars practically all had from the factory...
Oh, great for static electricity.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. They generate static electricity.
Oh,
so you slid across, right? And then you grab something.
And then you didn't need spark plugs.
That metal dashboard.
Yep.
Bam!
Or the horn ring.
Yeah.
Well, I got into the habit, tip for anyone who does have a car that's subject to static electricity, if you give it, say, your whole palm and fingers somewhere metal, you won't feel it anywhere near as much.
Spread it out.
Yeah.
Instead of off that little tip off the right next to your fingernail. And,
But anyway, what I did on that car was, remember, when I was driving that car, which was in the 80s, there were still a lot of cars of that era at Bill's Auto Parts.
Well, as long as Bill was alive, they were.
Exactly, and Bill was still around then. So I remember finding a Buick or something like that intact with an intact lock cylinder on it of roughly the same age. And sure enough, I had been inside the door on my car, and it was set up for it. It just didn't have the hole in the doorway. Drilled the hole, changed the pins inside the cylinder so that my key would work in it.
Well, that would be helpful.
Yeah. And sure enough, I had a lock on each side. Well, it looks like you can do that on at least some modern cars that have it only on the driver's side. What I didn't think to look for, and I think I tossed out the old latch that would have told me this, is whether or not it's got a place for a rod to come down and lock and unlock it when you turn the cylinder. But there's definitely a place to put a lock cylinder.
Well, that was good because it was very annoying. I thought that when they did that. So
It was funny. Speaking of Flexes, the other one.
Yeah.
It's almost there. Something like, I don't know, 45 miles from 250,000.
Wow.
I almost feel like I should take a little side trip today to see it. It doesn't roll because, of course, it's a digital odometer.
Yeah.
But it'll be the first time I'm behind the wheel crossing the quarter million mile mark.
Woof.
Yeah.
That's a long way.
The thing is just amazing. I would love to meet the original owner of that car because he put 220-some thousand miles on it. And, man, except for one innocuous dent in the front passenger's door,
yep,
you'd swear that car didn't go more than 60,000.
All right. Well, that's good.
Oh, man, that thing was a find. Hey, coming up on the show today, you know, you may not keep your car a quarter million miles. You may be interested in getting something new, or you just like to look at the new cars.
And other things, too. They have some custom cars in there, and they have equipment. Yeah. They have all kinds of car-related stuff.
Yeah, and even...
And where is this?
Well, I'm getting there in a second. I'm going to say, and even things that people in the family who could care less about cars might get a kick out of. There's usually celebrities and things like that. And we're talking about the auto show in Boston. It's going to be January 11th through 15th. It's actually called the New England International Auto Show, but it's in the hub of New England. Or some people in Boston like to say the hub of the universe.
But if you Google Boston Auto Show, you'll get them anyway.
Yeah, because, in fact, that is their URL, bostonautoshow.com. It takes place at the new convention center, the place in East Berlin.
Yes.
The reason I say that... Karen, my wife, she's a registered dietitian, and their national organization, which is the Academy of Nutrition and Dietetics, has conventions in different parts of the country. And not too long ago, they had theirs there.
Oh.
So she was there, and talking with dietitians from other parts of the country, it became obvious that part of Boston doesn't look like what you think of as Boston. You don't see streets where you expect to see Paul Revere riding through.
The North End.
Yeah, which isn't far from it. But it doesn't look like that over there. You don't see, trying to think, the places where the abolitionists held their meetings and places where...
Faneuil Hall?
Yeah. Well, no, that would be the Arlington Street Church, I think, was one of the locations.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's not far from Faneuil Hall, but you don't see anything that looks like that over there. The conclusion, we might as well be in East Berlin. So, anyway.
I see.
But the cars, well, you will not find any Trabants, but you will see... All the 2018 models, darn near. I'm sure there are going to be a few that don't make it. There always are a few that don't. But it's kind of fun. And in just a few minutes, we'll have our drive-through trivia contest. And if you're the winner, what will you win, John?
You will win a family five-pack of tickets for the Boston Auto Show.
Spoken like a father of three.
Yes, okay. Of course. And oh, by the way, walk-in paid admission is $15.
So do the quick math. It's $75 worth of tickets.
That is correct.
So, all right. So, again, that's available for you. Now, of course, the rule is if you're the winner, you have to come here to the station and pick them up during business hours. But there's plenty of time between now and January 11th. The show's from the 11th through the 15th.
All right.
Yeah, 11th through the 15th. I had to take another look at it again. Crazy thing last night. I got a call just as I'm about to leave the station. It's Karen.
Yeah.
And she says, a guy stopped in. And he saw the Corvair in the driveway, and would you like another engine? I'm trying to get rid of a bunch of stuff right now.
Did you ask him if he wanted a body to put the engine in?
Yeah, well, half a body. Actually, one of my friends from the Corvair Club is interested in hauling off the back half of the 65 Corsa Coupe.
Well, it's got some good panels.
Oh, it does. There. It does. And, if he had a car that needed a fanny, he could turn it into a 65 Corsa. But, but the fact of the matter is... It was kind of strange. It's something I couldn't pass up. When I met the fella, as it turns out, I was leaving, from the station anyway. So I met him at the old garage. The engines, it needs valve train parts. It needs the top cover and that. But when you look at it, it's actually a rebuilt short block.
Oh, really?
Yeah. My aching back. I don't really need it, but how can you pass up what's essentially a new engine?
So you took it?
Yeah. But the funny thing is, it's missing a few parts to be complete, but the parts that it's missing are things that I was expecting to get rid of, but I haven't yet.
What year, how many horses?
It looks like a late model 95 horse.
Okay.
So that essentially, even though my car's an early model, essentially it's the right engine for it, because that my car was a 64. It was the first year they used that size engine, 164
right.
cubic inch, 95 horse is what came in my car. Like it has to be the same. As everyone who's ever worked underneath the hood of a Corvair knows, you can get any engine from any year to fit just about any Corvair. A little trickier when it comes to the trucks and vans, but it still can be done. Anyway, it's quarter past, so, Brett, I guess our English friends ought to stop in and give us the extended serenade so that we can give away some stuff. I think they're getting down to it now.
Oh, good. finally, they found you.
Yeah.
Found something you can relate to.
Don't you love our new automation? Anyway, yeah, it's useless information. This really is useless. I mean, sometimes the information that we have is just obscure, but there's a use for it. This isn't.
Now, yeah, but this is not old, but it's old, but it's still current.
Yeah, I guess you could say that. I mean, it goes back, well, I think one of them goes back to roughly 1926, but it is still current.
Yeah.
Do you want to do the honors, or
yes,
should I?
Yes, okay. I do, since I, for some strange reason, came up with this question.
Well,
what do the Germans...
doesn't seem strange to me. I've known you too long.
Yeah, right. What do the German car manufacturers, Volkswagen, Audi, Mercedes-Benz, and BMW, have in common when it comes to their logo? What geometric shape do they use?
Oh, I see, something they have in common. This is, are you talking about the kind of thing that, for example, Ford and Hyundai and Toyota have in common? The shapes?
Yeah, they're not from the same country as each other.
No, but these guys, yeah, these guys are all German manufacturers.
Yes.
Yes, and...
So if you have the answer...
Call Brett at our regular numbers, 437-5000 and 888-345-0790, if you're the first one to get through with the right answer. And you can come and pick up your tickets during regular business hours. You'll win a family five-pack of tickets to the Boston Auto Show from January 11th through 15th, 2018. I try, I can't get no.
Too young to quit, too old to change. Baby, what am I gonna do? I got chopped top slammed down, 49 Mercury Blues.
Welcome back to Drive Through Radio. Hey, you may be wondering, where's Adam, right? Well, you know, Saturdays lately have been kind of tough for him because of a couple of things. First thing that we were expecting was driver's ed.
Mm-hmm.
The funny thing is, of course, it's classroom driver's ed, but I suspect that when they're expecting snow, they're not going to have people who don't know how to drive get behind the wheel.
Well, they can't.
No, they, well, not only that. Because it is the classroom portion of driver's ed. That's how they, you know, how they start off with this part. But the other thing is basketball. So anyway, Adam's, you know, tied up for Saturdays for a little while, although we're hoping to have him back before too long. But you know, I can understand during the basketball season. Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we're beginning to see snowflakes out there. Well, I'm sure we're going to be talking about the weather and coping with it before the show is over. Just a reminder, our numbers, if you have any kind of an automotive question or concern, I'm in the Society of Automotive Engineers. I used to be a certified automotive technician. John, like since forever, certified master automotive technician, and he taught automotive technology. Well, actually, I think you taught Carl Benz and Gottlieb Daimler everything they knew.
Right.
And Ransom Olds and Henry Ford. And so anyway, but the fact of the matter is, and what's kind of cool, there aren't too many people around who are familiar with cars back when they had individual coils the first time around.
Right.
And they have them again now in the 21st century.
You know, there was this guy, this old guy, used to write articles for a magazine called The Bulbhorn.
Oh, I know who you mean. McIlvain. Ullman. Alec Ullman.
Yeah. And the name of the column was Nothing New Under the Sun.
Hey, he was right.
You know, it goes around and around and around, kind of like a trivia question.
So yeah, I suppose,
you know the answer to the trivia question. What geometric shape do those German car manufacturers that were mentioned? Basically, I think it's the only one it didn't say is Porsche.
Yeah, because they don't use that shape. But their wheels, they do. But
but other than that, if you know the answer, you can get $75.
It's a matter of degree.
Tickets.
Yeah, it's a matter of degree.
Boston Auto Show.
360 of them.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is. But the getting back to, you know, Nothing New Under the Sun, Collins. His last name was Collins, and it began with a K. And he was
Collins begins with a K.
Yes, he wrote a newsletter called Wheels that was from the friends of the Detroit Public Library and was talking about their automotive book collection. And in the 70s, when the catalytic converter was catching on, he published a little something that was research that he found in their collection from, I think, a French engineer around 1905. And he described a process that essentially used platinum, I think, and some other elements to change the character of the exhaust coming from vehicles. Essentially, some French researcher in 1905 described the catalytic converter.
Not for nothing, but as poorly as they ran back then, they'd be following out cats left and right.
Say, oh, folly, yeah, they also probably killed more than a few cats with their exhaust. But, but at any rate, let's move into the 21st century right now. John, I don't think you're familiar with a company called Maven Drive.
No, I am not.
Okay. Well, would you believe it is a wholly owned subsidiary of General Motors?
Okay, I believe you.
Yeah, okay. And it's kind of a ride-sharing app. It's not really ride-sharing. It's car-sharing.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it works is you get an app for your computer, and if you need to go somewhere, why, you know, they'll make the arrangements for you. In fact, they'll get you a car. And I talked with a fellow, and I'm trying to make sure I say his name right. I believe it's Aksa Jashing, who is with Maven. And he was saying essentially just what it is.
Maven is a wholly owned subsidiary of General Motors, and we are focused on offering mobility as a service. So we basically have an app, and you can download it and become a member for free. And once you do that, it provides you on-demand access to a range of vehicles, including Chevrolet, Cadillac, Buick, and GMC, everything from a sedan to a large SUV on-demand for an hour to up to a day or a week or even 28 days.
Now, it kind of leaves you scratching your head. Why doesn't GM want you to buy a car, right?
Mm.
Well, all right. They'd love you to buy a car.
Yeah.
They would be absolutely thrilled if you bought a car. But Maven isn't everywhere. It is in big cities. I think the nearest one to us is Boston. It may mm-hmm. come our way as well. But the idea is, you know, owning a car in a big city where you've got public transit and you're not going to be driving all that much can be awfully expensive and just not worth it for an awful lot of people, which is why he says this makes sense for a lot of folks.
You're going to end up paying about $300-$400 a month for parking. A lease sets you back another $300-$400, and then you have insurance. So it's almost $800 to $900 a month just for owning a car. And, you know, that's where the whole concept makes a lot of sense.
And the cars, by the way, the Maven cars, they don't sit idle for all that long.
The whole business model makes sense when you have heavy utilization. And that's what you expect in dense urban environments. And that's what we are offering to customers here at an attractive price to the customer. But by utilizing the asset more, we are able to offset some of those costs.
What it comes down to, John, as far as General Motors, why they're in it, why it does make sense for them, they tell us to do this, is someone else is going to be doing the same thing using an app and, you know, in effect, renting / leasing cars to people. They might not be using GM cars. And because GM's got some control over these cars, you know, where they're going to be getting service by people who know their way around these cars very well, odds are that when you app your way into a Maven GM car, that car is going to be as satisfactory as it possibly can be. And when you, say, move into the suburbs and you need to buy a car, you're going to want a Buick, a Caddy, a Chevy, a GMC.
Well, you know, I hate the excuse that somebody else is going to be doing it anyway, so we're going to do it. I just never like to hear that.
Mm-hmm.
But did he mention if these cars were self-driving cars?
Well, they are not now, you know.
Right.
Yeah, they don't. GM does not currently offer a self-driving car.
Well, really, nobody except Tesla that of the major. And I'm thinking calling Tesla a major car manufacturer probably stretching.
Oh, they're turning into a major truck manufacturer.
Well,
they're self-driving trucks.
They
have buyers now.
Sold,
yeah.
You know,
they got orders.
I know, but they haven't put any on the road yet. So that that remains to be seen. Every time they talk about self-driving cars, I go to do something on my computer, and it decides it wants to reboot now in the middle of, I just wanted to check my email. I don't really need to do this right now.
Yep.
And it wants either I tell it to do it now or do it some other time, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I tell it, remind me later or just do it. It doesn't want to listen.
Mm-hmm.
It thinks it's in control.
I just want to throw in a hint for the trivia question. Does that mean you're talking in circles?
I am.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not really, but the computer is.
Uh-huh.
And then you say, okay, now do it. And then it downloads all the stuff, and it waits until you turn the computer, not turn it back on, but log back in before it starts loading.
Making you wait.
Yeah. Again, it's making me wait. So
yeah.
Every time I have a problem with a computer, I go, and they want these things to drive cars.
Yeah, I know.
And you have problems with your phones.
Mm-hmm.
So just,
and that's normal, right? There was this big go-around. This goes back quite a few years now, where Bill Gates was on a panel with someone from one of the big car companies.
Yeah, I know you're going with this.
And he's saying, would you accept it if your car just decided to shut down as normal, like your computer does? And Gates didn't have an answer for that one.
Blue screen of death.
Yeah, literally it could be. Anyway, we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the people who are ordering those new self-driving trucks from Tesla. And one of them, I suppose, it really makes a lot of sense as drive-through radio continues. One other thing, by the way, if you can't bear to go without hearing this program again, you can listen to a podcast of this show and many shows. They're sitting on our website at 790business.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the bride and groom. No, wait a minute. No, we're talking about electric vehicles. Actually, we're talking about Tesla trucks.
Yeah.
And they, you know, they're catching on, evidently. They're in the news recently, a bunch of big orders for Tesla trucks. Over 100 of them slated to go out the door. Now, that's, you know, not huge in terms of, you know, the automotive industry. But when you think about the fact this is a startup and no one's ever seen a truck that looks like this at all before, and it's a completely new technology for trucks, that is electrically driven trucks, battery electric trucks, that's a big deal.
Right now, they got to be a lot cheaper to run.
Yeah.
Because there's no road tax on electricity, which there's road tax on diesel fuel.
Big time.
Sometimes diesel fuel is $1 more a gallon than gasoline.
All on account of the tax.
Well, not at all.
Tell me why.
No, why? Because they're ripping off diesel owners.
Okay.
Because I can find diesel different times a year in different places in different years, 2-3 cents above or below.
I was going to say recently
gasoline.
I've seen it here, you know, right.
But
in my
I
neck
remember
of the woods,
back in like the late early 2000s, maybe actually like 7 or 8 or somewhere like that, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
That it was $1 more a gallon.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like
for no really good reason
no.
that I could think of. Yeah.
Yeah. And so in cases like that, they'd save a real lot of money.
Now the
eventually,
thing, yeah.
But the trucking industry, it would be easy to charge them road tax.
Yep.
Because there's all those records of
where they go exactly.
Yeah.
So
your personal car, even though you don't realize that somebody is tracking you,
yeah,
but not the way they do on paper with the trucks.
And, of course, here in Rhode Island, there's that whole brouhaha over the truck-only tolls that may or may not happen. So,
yeah, that's going to cost some money if it doesn't happen, for sure.
Anyway, I wanted to get to the Tesla trucks. They are electric trucks.
Yep.
They have a range that can go up to 500 miles depending upon conditions, and I think they're battery options as well.
And the load, I'm sure, has something to do with it.
Yeah.
If you're hauling a full trailer of potato chips or a full trailer of batteries, you're going to have a difference.
There would be a difference, yeah.
Yeah.
Ping pong balls, or, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So anyway, their 0 to 60 time, 20 seconds.
That's bad for a truck.
That's amazing for a truck. And the reason, of course, is the torque characteristics of electric motors.
Right.
So it does make sense. Now, these are going to have a version of Tesla's semi-autonomous autopilot system. These are not driverless trucks, although something tells me, looking at the way... not Nikola Tesla. Oh, what's it? Elon Musk's. The way Elon Musk's thought processes work, I'll bet they're set up so that they can be retrofitted with full autonomous control when it's quote-unquote perfected as well as allowed.
Yeah.
In the meantime, they have one seat. It's in the middle of the cab. They don't have passenger seating. But I find that fascinating because...
I find it more than fascinating. I find it very odd.
Well, I'm sure it's going to take getting used to, but, you know, the funny thing is putting a driver in one corner of the vehicle or another when you take a big vehicle into a very small street, sometimes it works in your favor and other times it works against you. What makes me laugh is in Italy, where they drive on the same side of the road as we do.
Yeah.
In a lot of their larger trucks, they put the driver on the right-hand side. And it has to do with some of the very tiny streets that they have to go through in cities. That's the close side when you're turning right.
Yeah.
And so,
well, one of the
I think that's the reasoning behind it.
With the driver in the center, is that when you're following another tractor trailer,
mm-hmm.
and tractor trailers do this quite often, especially over the road, and you come across that big hill, and you're the guy with the potato chips.
Yeah, the light load, yeah.
Yeah, and you want to pass them. You
the truck with the batteries.
Yeah, you have to pull out a little bit to see what's oncoming. And, we're talking on a two-lane highway in the middle of nowhere. You have to pull out. And when you're in the left-hand corner of mm-hmm. the cab, you don't have to pull out far.
However,
now, that's a big problem when you're driving your antique English car around here.
Yeah, but your antique English car is not as likely to be fitted with cameras the way that a Tesla truck is likely to be, especially what, you know, they could put a camera inside of each headlight pod, and you can see down the road
that
way. Think of it, John.
Take your face off the looking out the windshield.
Yeah, think of this. You can buy a kit to retrofit a backup camera to a car, including the monitor, for under $50.
Right.
It's not a super high-quality camera, but if all you're putting in is a camera and you're buying them in quantity, you know, you've got the screen inside the vehicle anyway, what would it set Tesla back? $30 a side?
Well, it wouldn't set them back a lot, because I'm sure these are going to be very expensive vehicles anyway.
But, you know, we're talking about the companies that have put in orders. There's Cisco. And it's Cisco, the food services Cisco, the one that starts with an S, versus CISCO, which is the computer networking supplier. And it's kind of funny. I kind of expected it would have been them.
Right.
You know, because of their relationship to the business. I think 50 of them for them.
They might, that other Cisco might not need big tractor trailers.
Well, that could be.
Yeah.
Then, of course, there's Walmart. They put in an order for 50. And also Anheuser-Busch, 15 for Walmart,
mm-hmm.
And Anheuser-Busch is putting in an order for 40 of them. And I was thinking in terms of Anheuser-Busch, they're probably just aching for the driverless versions, and so the driver can just sit there and sample what's in the back.
Back to the single seat driver in the middle with no passenger. I find the no passenger thing a problem. Because they might want the electric for the economy of that and all the advantages that come with the electric,
mm-hmm.
but they may want two drivers.
It's not that common that trucks go out with two drivers.
They're with delivery kind of things they do.
You know, I know that
unless they're warehouse to warehouse,
there's a maximum number of hours that a driver
like
can
10.
Drive. Yeah, in a 28 or a 48 hour period. So. But I think typically what they do is they just change drivers at a predetermined rest stop.
They do that too.
As opposed to putting paying two people a ride in the truck.
Yeah, but the delivery kind of thing is the one.
It's
of the things.
Yeah, I know.
And there's also the people who work for themselves that own tractor trailers who have two people up.
Yeah, sometimes it's a family member.
Yeah.
You know, just to have some company on a long trip.
Right.
So something tells me there'll be a version with more than one seat. But the way that it's configured right now, you know, it's got to be different.
Well,
it certainly is.
When I was learning how to drive a tractor trailer to get my tractor trailer license way back, the guys that I were were riding, the guys that I was riding with were happy for the company.
Sure.
You know, that was before the days of...
Or you thinking of Dick and...
And some of Maddie's friends. Mm-hmm. That was before the days of
Share it.
CB radio.
Oh, yeah. Breaker, good buddy. Yeah, 10-4. Say, why don't we remind folks about this here, our trivia question. This is an opportunity to get $75 worth of tickets to a pretty cool auto show.
Not a difficult answer.
No, it is not. You know, it is the auto show that takes place in Boston at the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. It's called the New England International Auto Show, but its online name is bostonautoshow.com. And it's from January 11th through the 15th, and we've got a family five-pack of tickets available to you if you're the first one to get through to Brett at our numbers, which you can also use if you're having a car question, 437-5000, 888-345-0790. And...
What simple shape?
Yeah, do four of the German car manufacturers' logos have in common?
Yeah.
And don't go around and around on this. It's not all that difficult.
That is correct.
All right. Hey, why don't we take a break right now? Getting to be that time of the morning. Yes, it is. There's my watch over there under my sleeve. We'll take a break and be back with more of Drive Through Radio. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about coping with the weather we're expecting right here on AM 790. Yeah, sure. Put the top down. Well, actually, you know, while you're moving and while it's coming down as lightly as it is right now, if you're one of these folks who just insists on open air motoring.
Yeah, well, today would be the day. Hey, there was lots of people who used to do that.
Yeah, you know. I was just thinking, yeah, back when men were men, because now John had a 26 Chrysler Imperial for a few years.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing an old magazine ad for what your car looked like when it was built, because it started out as a roadster and it got turned into a touring car. But there is a picture of a guy driving a 26 Imperial past, I think it was the Jackson Inn in New Hampshire, on a snowy day with the top folded down.
Yep.
Yeah, when men were men.
Oh, boy.
Well, you know, see, that would prevent the windshield from getting steamed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he had the windshield up. He hadn't folded it down, so I guess
so
he was a wuss.
As tough.
He was a wuss.
As he thought he was.
Yeah, but not many people like to go that way these days.
Oh, no.
No, and, you know, a couple of things to keep in mind, because, of course, with defrosters, all cars have them now, right?
I think so.
Yeah, but there's also a feature that's very worthwhile on most cars' HVAC systems, a little button you can push to recirculate the air from inside the car.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very handy in situations where you're behind a diesel with a leaky fuel injector, or someone's just flattened a skunk or something like that. And you don't want to get that air from outside into the car, at least temporarily.
Right.
So you push that button. Now, here's the problem with it, and that is that if you're running on recirculated air, you're actually adding a little bit of moisture to it due to the fact that we assume you're breathing.
I hope so.
Yes, we want you to keep that up, too, all right? But what happens is that winds up getting, with the defroster on, and even without the defroster, because it hits the side windows, you wind up coating the inside of the glass with moisture. In other words, fog.
Because the glass is still pretty cold.
Yeah, so... that's not a good thing. So number one, when you don't need to have the system inside the car, your HVAC, heating, ventilating, and air conditioning, when you don't need to have it on recirc, don't. But if you do have it on recirc, you can dehumidify the air that is recirculating if you turn your car's air conditioning compressor on. Now, most cars, when you put it on defrost, the AC compressor comes on for that very reason, whether you're on recirc or not.
Right.
Right. But that is worth keeping in mind. And, of course, if your AC compressor doesn't work, if you've needed to get your air conditioning system recharged, I love the commercials that ran a few years ago for no charge air.
But, that was for buying a car.
Yeah, they meant they didn't charge you extra for the air conditioning as opposed to there was Freon in the system. And
it
then it was not Freon, and of course it's now R134A, not R12, which was the one called Freon. But at any rate,
Only by one manufacturer, by the way.
Yeah, but that's the one that caught on. It's just like Kleenex. It's only one manufacturer. But what does everybody call facial tissues? Kleenex.
Yes, they're more like nose tissues, but anyway.
Well, yeah, or nasal tissues. It doesn't have the same ring, does it?
No.
So at any rate, your AC compressor, right, there's usually a button that says AC, or let's see, sometimes there's a picture. I'm trying to think what the picture is. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but at any rate, that will put the will send the air through the through the evaporator,
yeah,
which evaporates that moisture, gets it out of the system. It evaporates it. No, wait a minute. It's the opposite of that. It condenses it. That's the funny thing is the condenser is at the other end of the system.
No. It's the evaporator because it's the Freon.
We're talking about what happens to the refrigerant.
Inside, that's why.
Exactly. As opposed, you have to stop and think like you're the refrigerant. You are evaporating there by condensing the moisture that's in the air going through you.
Yes.
All right, so.
And you condense the air by making the air colder and the moisture drops out.
Yes, because cold air cannot support very much moisture, which is, of course, water vapor.
Yeah.
So anyway, a little tip there on using your HVAC properly in the kind of weather that we are expecting, or really any time in the winter. Anyway, Lou called from Providence. Lou, you are on Drive Through Radio. Good morning.
Hi, Paul and John. How you guys doing?
Good, and you, Lou?
Okay, welcome, Lou.
Hey, the question I have is, will any engine light code fail a inspection sticker?
It has to do with what it's involved with. If it's involved with safety or emissions, yep.
And the code. And if the light's on, that's it.
Yeah.
No,
you know,
it's
yeah,
not
the light is automatic disqualification. I mean, there are some lights that are warnings for things that are not as much of an issue, you know, like low washer fluid. You know, if your windshield washer is still working, and I think it's required now. One time it wasn't, but I think it is now required if the car came with it. You know, like my Corvair has it, but not every 64 Corvair did. So, mine has to work, but if the car doesn't have it, it's not required. You know, we're talking about grandfathering on older cars.
Right.
I had it in my 39 Oldsmobile, for crying out loud. But that, if the system's
any
working.
Any engine light code will fail.
Yeah, because that's emissions related. And Lou, what is driving the fact that Rhode Island has an inspections program is emissions. We're one of the states that's downwind from the Midwest, where they're putting stuff in the air that creates ozone here.
Yeah.
And as a result, we're required to have it. You know, you hear a lot of the debate about inspections and saying X number of states don't have it. How come we have to? Well, that's the reason why.
It's still doing things backwards.
Yeah, I mean,
quarrel
with
it. We're still stuck with it.
Well, yeah. In fact, there's a fight in Congress over getting the states that produce the crud in their smokestack emissions to turn on their scrubbers.
Yeah, they're the ones that need to do it to clean up our air, because
they're
the ones that are dirtying
it. Because they're the ones that are dirtying it, yeah. But nonetheless, our part of mitigating it is inspections. But yeah, you got a light on, you're going to
find it. Yeah, but it's the light is
which light is
7-Eleven. It's a 7-Eleven code, which is the temp sensor for the transmission.
Yeah, that might have to do with shifting, but the problem is I think it's just a visual check. I don't think a scan is required. By the way, one other thing
No. They plugged the thing in. What year is the car?
Oh, that's true, yeah. What year is
what was that?
What year is your car?
2005.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to plug
that
thing in.
They're going to do a plug-in scan.
Yeah, and it's going to know what the code is.
But, you know, that brings up something I was thinking about talking about today, and that is now and then you get a code that's transient. The 09, the red 09 Flex. I've got two cars the same year model. The red one had the check engine light come on after I fixed the emissions leak. And I'm going, what? I fixed the emissions leak. I plugged the scanner into it, and I got an O2 sensor code. I cleared the code. I have gone now a good 300 miles since I cleared the code, and it has not come back. So, you know, sometimes you can do that, and you're going to be all right. You know, sometimes it's something very transient, like maybe a connection. I'm fearing someday I'm going to have to go to the famous Ford wiggle test, you know, shake a wire to find out where the problem
is. One of the things that you could do, you could clear the codes, but when you plug that emissions test plug in.
It's going to show a memory code.
It's going to show how many miles since the codes have been cleared.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And if it hasn't been enough miles,
yeah,
then you're still in trouble.
Yeah. So best advice is to get that sensor replaced.
Check that circuit, clear the code, and drive it like 100 miles. And then if it's still the light's still out, it's probably going to be okay.
It's either going to be the sensor or it's going to be the wiring to it, the plug. You know, something like that, or the plug at the other end of that wire.
Yeah, or something dumb like mine, where, like I said, it's been 300 miles, it hasn't come back.
Yeah, so that's the best advice to do that. It's pretty tough to find your local friendly garage to pass a car that doesn't pass when it's something like the emissions, because that's plugged in.
And they get a record of it.
Yes.
You know who they are.
You know, if you had a broken taillight lens...
Yeah, it broke after you left.
Yeah. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Lou, thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger. And thank you for being with us here on Drive Through Radio. Hey, Brett Ferruccio, great job. Thank you. Picked out some good music here, especially considering how funky our new system is. It's kind of a learning curve. Anyway, stick around. More great radio coming up. Hope to see you during the week on WPRO. And, hey, you know, maybe we'll give away some tickets next week. In the meantime, don't forget to check your mirrors and signal your turns. Adios.